Brethren, greetings in the name of the Lord. Just thank God for the beautiful spirit in the meeting today and for all of the participation. So it is beautiful. How beautiful the body of Christ, and to see the body of Christ functioning as the body under the head. And so praise God. I would like to, well, let me say a word, and I don't know if you will, if you've ever heard this word before. Mark has been to Russia. He knows probably five words in Russian. He's laughing, so he knows. But there's a Russian word called troika. Have you heard of that word, Mark? Troika.
Yeah.
Okay. Troika, of course, Troy is three, but troika refers to a sled or a sleigh drawn by three horses, and they used it in terms of when the European Union was trying to chastise Greece for their money problems. And they said, if you're not careful, you're going to get troika. And what they meant by troika was the three, the European Commission, the European Central Bank, and the IMF were going to come in and take over your finances. And I'd like to use the word troika, a threefold attack upon the body of Christ that is taking place right now. The enemy has a three-headed attack, and I want to mention them before we get to the main message. The first area, now, first of all, before we go there, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not physical, carnal. It's not in the natural. We cannot fight anything, anybody, in the natural, in the carnal. The weapons of our warfare are definitely not carnal. And a prime example of what Brother Mark said, that Trump said, I mean, that it's just a natural understanding of spiritual warfare. We are in spiritual warfare, and we are not battling flesh and blood. And so the first attack upon the church, the body of Christ, is coming by way of politics. Brethren, it is not our place to get involved in politics and to believe that some political leader is going to bring us deliverance in any way, shape, or form. And I want to show you a scripture. In go to Acts chapter 1. Okay, Acts chapter 1. And as we read these scriptures, it's good for you to open your Bible, open your tablet, open your computer, or whatever, and look at the word. It helps to see the word that we're reading. So if you could follow along, that would be great. In Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 5. Pick up the thought. And this is the words of Jesus. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And of course, Jesus was referring to the day of Pentecost. This was 40 days after his resurrection. 10 more days on the 50th day is Pentecost. Okay, and he was referring to Pentecost in the upper room. Spirit was going to come down. Now he's talking to them about the Spirit of God coming down. He's trying to elevate their minds to think in the Spirit. Now I want you to see their response. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom of God to Israel? They totally went right into the natural. Are we going to get David's kingdom and Solomon's kingdom and Hezekiah? Are we going to have that again? They went right into the natural. And how do you suppose that you're going to get that kingdom of David back? You're going to have to do it politically. That's where the zealots came in. Judas was a zealot. He wanted political change. Barabbas was a zealot. These people wanted political change. And I caution you, those that are getting involved in the church, and God forbid any of us in the body of Christ would get involved in politics. Okay? I think we'll just leave that there. The first area of attack is to get the church involved in politics. The second area of attack, and I want you to see this, go to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to kind of skip over this because I want us to get to the main part of the message. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? He's talking about a spiritual attack, witchcraft, coming against the church, a spirit of witchcraft, trying to deceive the church. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only, what I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? And I mean, these are strong, this is a strong rebuke. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Keeping of the law. This is a religious spirit, brethren. A religious spirit telling the brethren that you have to be under the law. You have to keep Saturday as the Sabbath, and on and on and on. And I see the church moving religiously, trying to keep their own law and becoming a law unto themselves. Now, go one step further. Go over to chapter 5. We're still in the book of Galatians. This is Paul admonishing. Paul was a giant of a man in the faith. And oh my God, this man was bold as a lion when he spoke. So think of this boldness that Paul is speaking to the church, to us. Stand fast, verse 1, Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage of religion. Trying to keep the law, a religious spirit. Let's go on. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to follow circumcision, keep the whole law. Sacrifice the lamb. You cannot sacrifice the lamb. The lamb was the lamb of God, and that's the keeping of the law. If you're going to do that, you have to go and get a lamb and displace Jesus. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. The law will put Jesus back on the cross. Grace shows us not looking at Christ on the cross, but looking at the empty tomb. He's risen. We're free from the bondage of religion, of the law. Okay. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness of faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. Verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little, wait a minute, look at this. A little leaven, a little religion, a little bit of the old law leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I want to get down here further, so let's read a couple of word verses. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that you were even cut off that would trouble you. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And let's go on a little bit yet. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. So the two-fold attack so far, the getting the church involved in politics. Number two, getting the church under a religious spirit that will bring them back under the law. And the third one, and I want you to go to the book of John. Yes, John chapter 4. And I think you know this chapter. You know this story. And it's good for us to rehearse this word over again. This is the story of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And did we sing that song, Fill My Cup, this morning? That song is talking about the woman at the well. Okay. So we go down to verse 19. You know the story. She had five husbands, and the one she was with now was not her husband. So this is Jesus in verse 19, chapter 4 of John, addressing the woman. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when what? True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. If you have a paper Bible, circle that word must. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. The third prong of this three-headed attack is to get the church, to get the body of Christ involved in worship, which is not of God. And what is worship that is of God? That is in spirit and in truth. It's very simple. And the enemy is working vigorously to bring in worship. You notice, I'm going to say this. There has been a lot of attention drawn to the death of Charlie Kirk. And it was a horrible thing that happened. But his organization is involved with the Catholic Church. And at this big rally that they had in Arizona, they had a Eucharist event bringing people to the Eucharist. Brethren, the Eucharist worships the dead Christ on the cross. They believe that that little wafer contains God. Brethren, the move, the worship, the spirit of the devil that's trying to get into the worship is trying to bring the church back to the Holy Roman Church, which is the church of the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to say something more. Those of our brethren that we once fellowshipped with that are involved in worship, bringing in the drums and the electric guitars. Listen, I was around during the rock and roll era, and I know for fact the kind of spirits that were released upon humanity using the spirit that is in rock and roll. And you cannot call it anything else. But what these modern churches, these mega churches are doing, are having a rock concert. Now, if you notice, and I have been, don't ask me why I was there. We went into one of these mega churches, and they dim the lights. The auditorium is all dark. They have the spotlight on the performers, the so-called worship team. The spotlight's on them. They have these smoke machines that make fake smoke. They have all kinds of colored lights. It's like a rock concert. I hate to admit it, but back in the day, I went to a few rock concerts, and that's exactly what it was. And I went to a rock concert one time, and even though I was backslidden from God, living the life of a sinner, I was scared. And I left that rock concert early because of the heaviness of the spirit that was in that place. When the church, and I'm talking to some of those that we used to fellowship with, when the church begins to open up to this religious spirit, bring in the drums, bring in the rock and roll, bring in the electric guitar, you are opening to this Antichrist spirit of worship. Now, I want you to see this. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you know where we're going. But I want you to see it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, there it is. Well, we'll start in verse 1. I want to get down a little further, but we'll start in verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by what? A spirit. Neither be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, remember, this is Paul the Apostle, the giant of the faith, and he's not speaking his own words. He's speaking by the Spirit. And he says, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. The word is apostasia, which means it's a rebellion. It's a turning back away from God. There come a falling away first, a rebellion. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is Apollya, the destroyer. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy in the church. And he's using worship to do it. Who opposeth, watch this, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalted himself about all that is called God or that is worshiped. Satan wants worship through the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit. And he is involved in this Antichrist worship. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, what? As God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He wants to go into the holy place church and bring in this false Antichrist worship. Brethren, the spirit of the Antichrist is working through getting the church, getting we, the body of Christ, involved in politics, involved in a religious spirit that takes you back to the law. And last of all, he wants to come in and corrupt our worship. Any worship that is not in spirit and in truth is to the end. And I so appreciate the purity of our worship today, God. Now, God, remember, we started 2 Corinthians 10. We didn't go there, but 2 Corinthians 10, 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has given us weapons to counter these weapons of the enemy. And the first weapon, and you know these weapons, brethren. We use these weapons, but we must get to where these weapons, that we draw our weapons given to us from God, and we cannot go in the natural. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is not a natural battle, and we must use the weapons of our warfare, which are, if he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, he's saying that the weapons that we do have, that we need to use, are spiritual. They are in the spirit. They are in the heavenlies, and we need to call them down. So the first weapon, and I want you to hang, stay with me, please. The first weapon that God has given us, and it is a weapon, and I'm going to call it a weapon, is the weapon of the blood. The first case where we saw the weapon used as a blood was in Egypt when the death angel came, and anybody that did not have the blood over the doorposts and the lintels was subject to the death angel. That was the Apollyon, the destroyer, who came to bring death. And by obedience to the word of the Lord, they put that blood, and the death angel had to pass. So we saw that the blood was used as a weapon against the weapon of the death angel that came. So I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here we go. Luke chapter 8. And we will just kind of tell the story here. Jesus is asked by what I believe it's Jairus. Jairus, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Jairus asked Jesus to come and pray for his daughter who's sick unto death. Okay. The daughter happens to be 12 years old. Okay. Now, while he's going, this woman comes behind him, and let's pick up the story there. Well, let's pick it up in verse 40. We're in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. And it came to pass when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, but they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. She was sick unto death. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, a woman having an issue of blood, what? 12 years. So at the same time that this daughter was born, this sickness came on this woman. The exact time. And the woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched, it stayed, it was removed. Now Jesus said, verse 45, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Question mark. Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." That word, and I want you to check me out here, Opie, and you, some of you that got your computer on. What is that word in the Greek? Virtue. Dunamis. Number 1411 in the Strong's. Dunamis. What went out was the power that's flowing. This is beautiful, brethren. The power and the life and the energy that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, touched her blood, and it came forth in power. I want you to see this. That word is dunamis, power. The blood is it's a power. It's an energy. I looked it up. I wrote down here some, I can't find it now, but it's well, the life is in the blood. The energy, the power. That makes the blood of Jesus Christ a weapon. Brethren, the devil is bringing his weapons. He's opening up his arsenal. And he's bringing out all of his weapons against the church, against the body of Christ. But Jesus Christ has equipped us with the weapons of our warfare, which are mighty through God, which are able to defeat every weapon of the enemy. And the first weapon that we see is the weapon that we call the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this. It's dunamis. He was a Christian explorer, by the way. He went and he found the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said it was full of sulfur, all the whole area, the ground. And it'd be worth watching his little video. But he said it was like this dynamic explosion from God came down upon those cities and destroyed them to the very core of their being. That's power. You know, that's the power and energy that is in God. And he's withholding that judgment. He's withholding that, but we're going to get it. God is not happy. He's not pleased with the way that these spirits are telling young people they don't know what sex they should be. I don't really know if I should be a boy or a girl, or maybe I should transition, and maybe I like to be with a girl. I'm a girl, I like to be with a girl, or I'm a boy, I like to be. God is not pleased with the way that our society is brainwashing these children. And one of these days we're going to get that dynamite, that dynamo energy and power of God in a form of a judgment against the wickedness. It's coming, brethren. God is a God of judgment and justice, and he will do what is right. But the church has a weapon called the blood of Jesus Christ, which is dunamis power. I want you to understand that. Let us get that. It's dunamis power that's endued in that blood. And that's what touched this woman. 12 is the number of completion. And the power, the virtue that went out, completely healed this woman after 12 years of suffering. And then he went and raised up this girl, 12-year-old girl, from the dead. And they laughed at him. They said, don't bother, she's dead. He proved the resurrection power that is in the blood of Jesus. Virtue, dunamis, life, power, energy. He has given us number one weapon against the weapon of the enemy, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me see. Well, let's move on to the second one. And I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, and go down to let's start in verse 3. Second Corinthians 2 and verse 3. For I was with you in weakness and in fear. Wait a minute. Did I say Second Corinthians? We're in First Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But my preaching, this giant of a man, endued with the Spirit of God, But my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about the power that's in the word, or behind the word, that energizes the word. And I want you to look at that. If you got your Greek, verse 4, but in demonstration of the Spirit, pneuma, and of power, dunamis, again. It is the same word, dunamis. There's a dunamis power that is in the word, that is behind the word, that energizes the word that we preach, the word that we believe, this word that we have. This is power, dunamis, power, energy, life. It's a life-giving force. Brethren, let's rehearse it again. The life is in the blood. The blood is life. The life is in the Word of God. The Word of God is life. It's energy, it's power. This is a weapon that we have against all of the weapons in the arsenal of hell that are being released. Listen, brethren, when those, in one of these days, I'm going to give a word on those four spirits in Revelation that are released: the spirit of fornication, the spirit of sorcery, the spirit of the thief, which Mark prayed against for Brother Lee, and the spirit of fornication. Those, when hell opens up and these spirits are released, brethren, we are going to be able to stand in this power because they are weapons of our warfare against the power of the enemy. I want you to go, we don't need to turn there, but you know this scripture in John 6:63. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are what? They are spirit. And they are what? Life. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to the next scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians. No, yeah, okay. While we're in 1 Corinthians, go to chapter 4 and verse 20. Yes, yes, we need to read this. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. First Corinthians 4 and 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Again, if you have your Greek there, that's 1411 in the Strong's, dunamis. The kingdom of God is not, and really it should say, the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in the power, the dunamis power. Behind the word. Now, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 1 here. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his what? Power. Dunamis. The dunamis power in the word is what holds all of the planets in their orbits. Holds all of the universe, the galaxies that are out there. Everything is in order. There's only one place where there is disorder, and that is on planet Earth and in mankind, which has been corrupted. And God is bringing divine order back to the church by this dunamis power of the word. Now, I want to just touch on something. When Jesus says here, or when it says in Hebrews, he's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. I want to touch the rhema and the logos, and we're not going to spend much time there. Jesus Christ is the logos. And what came out of Jesus was the rhema. So think of it like this. It's like a gun. Okay, let's take a big gun, an AK-47, worldwide weapon. Okay. You take that AK-47, that is the logos. That, now Mike, you're a hunter and you know this. An unloaded gun is worthless. It's useless. When you put that bullet or that magazine in that gun, that's the rhema. And it's the rhema that comes out of the logos. Brethren. We got a big weapon called the Word of God. It's a weapon, brethren. We have got to get this Word in us. It's got to be in us, and it's got to work in us and through us and out of us. Because the devil's bringing out the big guns. We haven't seen the biggest gun yet. But he's preparing a people that will be able to not only withstand, but overcome all of the weapons of the enemy. So the first weapon was the blood, and there was a dunamis power in the blood. Second weapon, the word of God, and there's a dunamis energy and power that works in the word of God. The last weapon. Go back to Acts chapter 1. I want you to see this. Hallelujah. I'm sorry I get so excited about the word. I remember when Brother DeCille was up ministering, he would have fun. He was having fun bringing that word. Brother Campbell was like that too. Remember how Brother Campbell, Larry, you remember this? Brother Campbell would preach and he'd say, he had that little Campbell laugh. He was having fun. You remember, Mark. But I have fun with this word because I know that this word is wonderful. It's powerful. It's dunamis. It's energy. It's life. So we're in Acts chapter 1. Let's go back to verse 6. We read this once before. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And of course, they're thinking in the natural. Verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and at the uttermost parts of the earth. But you shall receive what? Power. And what do you think that word is? Dunamis. Do you see what we're doing here? What we're seeing? There's a dunamis power that's in the blood. There's a dunamis power that's in the word, and there's a dunamis power released by the Holy Ghost. But you are going to receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to receive dunamis. Let's look at this dunamis in action. Go over one page, Acts chapter 2. And when the day of full, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them unto. This is a manifestation of the dunamis power that is in the Holy Ghost that is being released through the disciples. Now, did not we, when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive that same power? Amen, absolutely. Come on. Amen. Listen, and you've heard my testimony before. When I was born again and I was at that altar crying out to God, and my sin was ever before me, a weight on my back, like Pilgrim's Progress, Mr. Pilgrim, when he was going up that hill with that big weight on his back, I felt that weight. And when the blood and the life that's in the blood touched me, it was like energy, like electricity flowing through me. That energy and life is in the blood. That energy and life is in the word that brought me, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's the power of the word going out that brought us to that altar. And then, while I was at that altar weeping and crying out for my sins, the Holy Ghost came upon me and I began to speak in tongues, just like you did. That dunamis. And I mean, I felt the energy. Listen, the life is in the blood, and the blood is life. The life is in the Word of God, and the Word. The life is in the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. The three weapons of our warfare against all, everyone, A-L-L, all of the weapons of the enemy. We're not done here. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Again, the writings of Paul, the giant of the faith. I'd go down to verse 14. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And what do you think that word might is? Dunamis. Dunamis power. Where? In our inner man. That you may be able, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the work of the blood is to bring us to our 12, completion, fullness. The work of the word is to bring us to completion, the fullness. The work of the Spirit is to bring us to our completion, our fullness. And it's coming in the form of dunamis, energy, power, life-giving energy. I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes we, Joanne and I, find ourselves complaining about where we are. I don't like the fact that I'm low down. I don't feel the energy. I don't feel the power. I don't feel the life of God. I don't see my walk matching my talk. Do you ever get that way? Please don't answer. Sorry, Larry, I inherited Campbell's laugh, his little chuckle. But sometimes I complain about me. I don't like living in a low realm. All of this dunamis, energy, life, and power is available to me through the blood, through the word, through the Spirit, and here I am, low down. What is wrong with me? We have to just get down before God. I just got up early. I got my guitar. I sang some songs. I sat in his presence, opened the word, and the life began to come. Just think of it like our resources. Okay. What do we have stockpiled for when the big one comes? And we got an extra jar of peanut butter, we got some extra toilet paper stored up, we got, survivalists. What do we have stored up? We should have at our disposal because we've been using it. We're familiar with our weapons. Who has been in the military? Any of you been in the military? I was never in the military. But I can tell you one thing. When you get out of basic training, you know how to use that weapon, and you have a great respect for it. We have in our storage closet the blood, the word, and the power of the spirit, and it's all dunamis. All right? It's life, it's energy. I want you to go to First John, your scripture, First John, chapter 5, all the way to the back of the book. First John, chapter 5. And we'll go down to verse 4. 1 John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, and is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three. Get this, brethren. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three agree in one. And there are three, verse 8, that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, number one, and the water of the Word, and the blood. And these three agree in one. This is the agreement of the three weapons of our warfare that are working mightily in us to overcome all the power of the enemy. And all I can tell you, brethren, is that it's dunamis, dunamis power of the blood, dunamis power of the word, dunamis power of the spirit, and it's in us. Amen. It's in us. And it is working. It's working. Don't let the devil deceive us that this dunamis power and energy and life of God isn't working in us, because it is working in us, and it is working through us, because I can hear it in the testimonies. I can hear it in the prayers. I can hear it in the songs. I can hear it in the word. The life of God is working in us, brethren. And at our greatest hour, we are going to see it. I want you to go to, while we're here at the back of the book, go to Hebrews chapter 4. And go down to verse 9, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. For there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest in the Holy Ghost, by the way, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12. For the word of God, it's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word power happens to be energous. Energy. Energy comes from the word energous. Energy. This word produces life-giving energy and power. We should feel energized after we receive the word. When you sit down and you're in your quiet time with God and you're reading the word, you should feel energized. When you're singing the songs of Zion by the Spirit, worship in spirit and in truth, you should feel energized. And when the Holy Ghost moves through us, come on, brethren. You know the Holy Ghost moves through you. Amen? That's energy. That's life. It's power. It's dunamis. We're going to need to not only have our weapons, we're in basic training right now, but pretty soon we're going to be sent off to the field of battle. You know what comes after basic training? You go right into the battle. Now I want you to use what I've taught you. And you take your weapons to battle. The weapon, the blood. That same power that was in the blood that God demonstrated through Moses in Egypt over the doorpost, that same energy and power was released at Calvary. When Jesus was on the cross and that blood began to flow out of his body, that was power, life, energy that was being released against hell. And I bet there was a great scream in hell because they knew the weapon of the blood was released against them. Let us stop. Let us end with one more verse here. And I know you know these verses very well, which is good, but we need to rehearse them. Revelation chapter 12, going to the back of the book. Well, let's pick up the story. We're in Revelation 12, and I want us to go to verse 7. And there was what? War in heaven. We're talking about the weapons of our warfare. We're talking about a war that's going on against mankind from the very first day that Adam fell in the garden. The war was on. Satan was at war with humanity. Now, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. Guess what that word strength is, brethren? Dunamis. Energy, life, power. Now is come dunamis and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, we, you, I, us, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives. Amen. God has given us the weapon of the blood of Jesus Christ, the dunamis power that's in the blood. He's given us the weapon of the word of God, the dunamis power that is in the word. And he's given us the weapon of the power, indwelling power of the Spirit of the living God, working dunamis power and energy in us, through us, so that we, what did he tell? We don't need to turn there. But you shall receive dunamis power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. Actually, the word is martyrius, which is a martyr. But you're going to go and love not your life unto death. And you're going to be witnesses where? In your Jerusalem, down there in Kansas City, County, out there in California. Boy, you need it out there, Mike. Praise God. Oh, you need it too, Jeremy, in New York. We need it in our Jerusalem. We all need it. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. We are like containers. And he infused us with this dunamis power of the blood, of the word, and the spirit. And we're going out. And like that song, Rita, fill my cup. We're going out there and with our cup full, and we're letting our cup run over to the nations. And hell is going to tremble when the sons of God come forth to their 12, their completion, their fullness. Hell is going to tremble. And then the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. And he, Christ Jesus, shall reign forever and ever. God bless you, brethren.